Talk Radio News and any guest represents their views and their views only, and do not necessarily represent the views of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network. Good evening and welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. First, before I announce what we will be discussing tonight, for those who did not have a chance to check out the promo, I just want to say it's good to be back on these airwaves live. There's been a while. It's been some months since I have broadcasted live, although I have been continuing to produce podcasts on some of the issues and topics of the day. So many of you may have been expecting to hear Code Breakers, which usually comes on during this time slot, but they are no longer with the network. They canceled their program, and so I decided to bring BTR News live in this slot. So I plan to commit to doing this weekly radio broadcast every Tuesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Just want to say that was a great show that we just heard from Dave on Tando Radio Show. It's a lot of things that's going on in the world, let alone inside of this country, that a lot of people are not aware of, because I mean, there's just so much out there to distract us from some of the important things that we may not think is going to impact us, but certainly can impact us and will impact us. So there's a lot of activity going on. If you missed that program, always go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, check out Tando Radio Show's archives. So with that said, let me state this. Tonight, the title of tonight's program is When Transsexual Deception Leads to Tragic Consequences and the Need for Transparency. Now, I hope that we are able to, well, I'm not going to hope, I know we are. We're going to have a respectful, open dialogue on the issue of non-disclosure by transsexuals who seek intimate relations with men who are clearly identifying themselves as heterosexual males seeking relationships with natural-born women. And as some people have expressed to me, and I've, you know, observed on social media, that we live in a very confusing world to where we're to the point to where you even got to mention that you're talking about a natural born woman. So yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about transsexuals who are seeking intimate relations with men who clearly identify as heterosexual and seeking relationships with natural born women, not the other way around, as has been suggested to me. And I told that person they're very confused. That is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about heterosexual males seeking relationships with transsexuals, because if a heterosexual male wants a relationship with a transsexual, he will seek them out at the places that transsexuals frequent. If he's engaged in online dating, he will state that he's seeking a transsexual. So let's not get it twisted. I want to make sure everything is clear of what we're talking about. We are talking about the issue of non-disclosure by transsexuals who seek intimate relationships with natural born women. And, you know, I guess we could also throw in there women seeking men, because we do have women who are transitioning to male. So I guess, you know, we can even include women seeking heterosexual relationships with natural born men. So I also want to put out front, it's never okay to promote violence or engage in violence against another human being simply because they are classified as LGBT, any of those nomenclatures. We're talking about transsexuals tonight. We are not promoting violence against them. But let's also keep it real. There are situations that people find themselves in to where violence is a natural outcome. Certainly in situations of self-defense, and people who know me, have been following my program and my production of media over the years, know I definitely believe in the right to self-defense, even armed self-defense. But I want to make it clear, we are not talking about going out and promoting violence or engaging in violence against the LGBT community, which suffers violence. Okay, let's not deny that. All right. But like I've also said, I don't know the details of all of those cases. For all I know, it could be a similar situation where a heterosexual male was deceived into believing he was with a natural born woman and had a spontaneous reaction where they went into a state of shock and temporary insanity. I also don't know if it's transsexual on transsexual violence either, do I? I just simply don't know. And I don't like to speculate on the things that I don't know. I just know that there's a lot of possible reasons for this violence. Now, it is also not okay to expect rape victims to always be rational in their thought process or unemotional toward when they have been raped. That's just not logical to expect a rape victim, whether we're talking about a man, woman, or child. It is not rational to expect a rape victim to be rational in their thoughts and not to act out on their emotions, especially in the heat of the moment. So let's just keep it real here, okay? Let's just keep it real. So, also, while some have sought to make a joke out of this issue, I don't know if y'all caught the Breakfast Club the other day. Somebody mentioned it to me and what I've been posting, and they said, hey, did you see the Breakfast Club? Yeah, I saw that garbage, but what that has nothing to do with Scotty Reed. Scotty Reed is not making jokes about violence towards anyone, okay? So don't try to tie this discussion to what you heard and what you saw on The Breakfast Club. This is not The Breakfast Club, okay? We are not on here to entertain you and to get laughs, okay? This is a very serious radio network, and we discuss serious topics. Sometimes we may delve into lighthearted, you know, topics like Dave had the other day when he was asking people, what is it that you do to relax? So it's not always so serious, even though it is important when you are in a stressful environment behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. for you to be able to relieve that stress in a constructive manner. So I just wanted to get that out there. Now, to start off our dialogue, we will be hearing from Miss Kimberly Melancon. She is the mother of the victim of rape by deception, Dwayne Hickerson. I have produced a couple of videos about his case. I've also been discussing it on social media. He was only 20 years old when he unknowingly engaged in a sexual act with a transsexual he met on a dating site, where he listed he was interested in meeting women and not transsexual women. It appears that 25-year-old D. Wigham misled Mr. Hickerson and never disclosed their true sexual status. Mr. Hickerson was facing the death penalty but pled guilty to reduced charges, and he received a 40-year prison sentence after killing D. Wigham, who apparently, and I'm not speaking ill of the dead, I'm not here to demonize anyone, but the facts are what they are. And apparently D. Wigham thought that it was wise to disclose right after sexual contact that I was not a natural born woman. So Ms. Melancon will also be speaking to us about an upcoming initiative she will launch called GIA, Gender Identity Accountability, and hopes to prevent tragedies like this on both sides. Because as I stated in my initial video, there's two victims in this case, okay? There are two victims, and then some might say there's only one victim, because, again, I want people to think about this logically. If a woman, because, you know, mostly everybody's sympathetic to women because of the way that they are not as physically strong as men and not able to overpower their attackers or their rapists. But let's say a woman was being raped in her home, in her own bed, and she keeps a firearm under her pillow. So why this attacker is raping her and she kills him, what are you going to say then? You're going to say, oh, that was unnecessary? So I want us to think about this from every possible anger. And again, I don't know what other people's purposes are, but my purpose is on speaking on this subject is to save lives on both sides. So let me find my guest. I believe we have Miss Melikon. That's the wrong line. I see Miss Melikon's line. Miss Melikon, do we have you on the line?
Yes. Hi, Scotty. I'm here.
Hi. May I call you Kim?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Well, Kim, I hate that the first time that I'm speaking with you is under these circumstances. Your family has suffered a terrible tragedy. And as you wrote to me, your son, am I saying his name correctly? Is it Dwayne?
It's Dwayne.
Dwayne. I'm sorry. So Dwayne, you know, it's unfortunate that we are speaking under these circumstances with Dwayne being incarcerated into what we call on this network 21st century slavery and human trafficking, yeah. Because slavery was never abolished. The 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says that involuntary servitude and slavery shall be abolished except for punishment for crime. So like Malcolm X said, you telling me that the South lost the war? I don't believe it when slavery still exists. But under these unfortunate circumstances, we are speaking with you tonight, Kim. But I want to thank you for your strength and your courage to bring this topic forth and working on the initiative that you're working on, because I do believe this is a conversation that needs to be had, not a one-sided conversation, but an honest dialogue so that we can save lives on both sides. So before we get started, I want to give you an opportunity to give an opening statement.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show to just hopefully bring awareness to the increasing alarming rate of transgender deaths in our country. I can't say that some of these weren't hate-fueled, but I can tell you that in my son's incident, that wasn't the case. Dwayne is from a very diverse family background. So, as you know, my son is the ex-sailor, of course, who was convicted of the murder of the transgender last year while serving time in the Navy. Since his assignment was in Mississippi, I didn't have a lot of conversation with him about who he was dating, who he was seeing, which I typically would do as a mother of four sons. But in retrospect, I really wish I would have. But after the fact, I found out that he was corresponding with someone he presumed to be a woman, someone he met on a straight dating site for a man seeking a woman. For a couple of months, they were talking back and forth. He also told me that the individual canceled several arrangements to meet up. So still, I didn't think anything of it because they're young. He's 20 and first time away from home, leaving college, going into the Navy. So he told me he got a call from the individual seeking an encounter, and the person advised that they were going to be bringing along three friends that were there in the city for an event. Dwayne was picked up from the base by the individual he ran into contact with, and they went to a hotel to have sex. So let me just put this in perspective, from the perspective of a 20-year-old and a 25-year-old. They had already talked for a numerous amount of time, online chatter. So this wasn't going to be some soap opera, touchy-feely, we're going to do foreplay. They knew in their mind they were going to this hotel room to have sex. So their actual online conversations had already set the tone for when they were going to meet up. So I know a lot of people have questions about that actual sex act, which, by the way, was disclosed in the court video that's online. But just to have a little transparency about that itself, even the act itself was based on deceit, okay? The whole act pertained to a storyline. It was after the completion that my son said D. Wiggum revealed to him that he was born a man. And to quote my son's words, I lost it. So you have to go back and think, what could have been done? How didn't he know? I know that people get online and I know they share pictures and photos. It's very easy not to know because of hormones and therapies that bring about what now I've learned called penile atrophy, which shrinks your penis, that you don't have to do the typical things that transgenders do to hide their genitalia. So there's a lot of things out there that a man can say, I truly did not know. The real topic here is what could have been done for Dee Wiggum to be alive today and for my son to be on the base serving his country. Full disclosure, a man has the right to know if he is involved with a person of the same born sex. And no, I'm not against the right of transgenders to have relationships, but not when those relationships infringe on the free will of others. Revealing your true gender during conversation prior to sexual intercourse, prior to any intimate relationship, it will save lives. And I'm not advocating violence in any way, but I am calling on the trans community to have some form of accountability for sexual predatory offenses. The same way it would be if a criminal, it's a criminal act to not disclose your HIV status and to knowingly infect a sexual partner. And just to put some numbers behind that, in 2014, there was an estimated 37,600 new HIV infections. 1 in 7 of those individuals contracted this disease unknowingly. And more than 30 states have prosecuted HIV-positive individuals for exposing a partner. So I'm really here, Scotty, on your show to draw awareness and in the process open up the way to have conversations to save lives and to institute laws to protect the rights of a man to know and decide his sexual partner. Accountability changes things. If transgenders are held accountable for deceptive behavior, it will change how they approach potential sex partners. If my son had done the reverse and he went back to his barrack and killed himself from the embarrassment and psychological trauma of the encounter, would I have had any recourse on the transgender? No, I wouldn't have, because men who report trans rape, they feel further emasculated and they're laughed at by law enforcement. Didn't you know? How could you not tell? It's a joke. But it's not a joke.
No, it's not.
These are preventable tragedies.
It's not. Kim, your son's story really resonated with me. I'm former military as well. And I do recall, you know, interactions that other soldiers had with transsexuals. I do remember this guy's, I'm going to just say his last name, but I remember him. Even though this is over 20 years ago, his name was Ricoli. And he was dating a Filipino transsexual. Filipinos, their men are very small in stature, and it's hard to tell. But we could tell. Some of us could tell. And we mentioned to him, and he didn't even believe us. He wouldn't even believe us until we finally got this individual to admit to him, because he really didn't know. Now, that was in a situation. It didn't turn violent. He acted frustrated or whatnot, but we weren't going to let any violence occur. But another thing that resonated with me, and I shared this story on social media. When I was 18 years old, I had met and I didn't even talk to this person like your son for months online or meet them on a dating site. This was back in the 80s. All right. I'm at a club. I meet a woman, a black woman. She makes it clear to me that she wants to engage in sex after the club. So we go get a hotel room. I'm having sex with her. Also had been drinking, but I wasn't drunk, so I'm not going to put it on being drunk, but I had been drinking. It was a dimly lit room. Again, I'm 18 years old, inexperienced in terms of how many women I had been with, okay? I know a lot of young men like to brag like they had been with a lot of women, but I had not, okay? So, this person, I'm looking, and I noticed that there's a scar right above their bikini line. I didn't know what that was. I had never seen anything like that. I hadn't been with that many women to begin with. Then I look at her face, and then I noticed there was a black band on the corner of her forehead. And I'm saying to myself, that's a wig. Next thing I know, I done went from scar, bikini line scar, to a wig, to, oh my God, I'm with a transsexual, a post-op transsexual. And I, in seconds, had an involuntary reaction to put my hands around that person's throat and start choking them. She screamed, she said, I'm not a transsexual. That's a scar. I have a child. I had a C-section. I apologized profusely. I felt very foolish, very embarrassed, because I just simply didn't know. But that was my reaction in just thinking I had been with a trans. It was involuntary. It was within seconds. Right. I had literally lost my mind in those seconds that thought had entered into my mind. Now, it didn't turn out to be the case. And credit to her, she was very understanding. And we even continued to date a long time after that. So I was in expressing how I can understand how your son could lose it in that moment. I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. Thank you, because he did. My son is he's never been in trouble a day in his life. He doesn't have a criminal background. He was always a model student and civilian onto a soldier. He was studying to be a naval meteorologist at 20 years old. And, you know, we, like I mentioned previously, we are from a diverse family background. We are. I have gay and trans family members and friends. That there's no homophobia, but again, every male has a right to know.
Yes, they do.
So that this can be prevented. And it's staggering. You know, I just got news that another transgender was murdered in Atlanta yesterday. So there has to be conversation without being on the defensive about, you know, if you're homophobic, if you don't agree. No, that's not the case. We need to find a solution and get accountability in legislature to back accountability for these type of offenses.
Now, let me say this, because you mentioned the term homophobia. I was also called transphobic when I said that I'm not interested in having sex with transsexuals or transgenders, whatever the proper terminology is. Okay, I'm. That's just not how I'm wired. Some people may be. That's them. That's how they are. But we misuse words a lot. And a phobia is when you have an irrational fear. I never had fear of homosexuals. I live in a small rural community. A guy I used to ride to school with, and we became best friends. He wasn't out at the time, but I knew he was struggling with his sexuality. Okay, when I joined the military, you know, they just made it so that people can openly announce that they're gay. What is it? Don't ask, don't tell. It's what it was when I was in there. It's not like that. But we know who was. It was like a whole underground. And I knew some of those guys and females, and I were friends with them. I was working with them. Okay, so you get to know people, and especially in a situation like that. So I had no fear of transsexuals or homosexuals. My sexual preference is a natural born woman. That's a choice. That's a preference. That's not a fear if I choose not to engage in sex, if I'm not attracted to somebody. It's just simply not a phobia. And so we have to be careful of the words that we use. Now, also, you made a comment on a post that I had made, and there was a woman, and she said that don't compare this to rape, because this is not rape. And you shared the dictionary. I had actually on another thread had shared the dictionary definition of what rape, because a lot of people, and she wasn't the only one, have in their mind that rape involves brute force, that I got to be holding you down. But you shared a definition with her of what rape is. Can you share that with our audience?
Yes, I'll refer back to that really quickly. I have it here. I think her comment was that rape entails force. So I definitely wanted her to understand that the definition of force is the capacity to persuade or convince someone. So it's not necessarily a physical act. It's the persuasion or the convincing, and that's force.
Or coercion is one of the words that was used in a definition I read, coercion.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's also get into, and I do want to let the listeners know that I will open up the line in a few minutes. I just want to give our guest an opportunity to first tell her son's story, because his story has not been told. So, but when I do announce, I'm going to open up the lines. You could call 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Hit ** to unmute yourself. Please watch your background noise. I will open up the lines in just about 5 minutes here. So, Kim, if you would, you know, is there anything, for example, one of the questions that I had in my first video, why didn't the defense put up a temporary insanity plea? And you mentioned to me in an email that you would explain that.
So the defense did not do that, because in Mississippi, what is known as insanity is called the McNaughton Law. This law is for persons that have no functioning capacity whatsoever. And this is a person who has no sense of reality. And I don't want to call them babbling, but yes, someone who can't utter and just, they're just a Charles Manson maniac. They just have no sense of reality. So obviously that wouldn't apply to my son, who's a straight-A student, you know, who was in the Navy getting certification for his degree. He was not. And I did bring up the temporary insanity to his group of attorneys, as well as the diminished capacity. None of that applies in Mississippi. Mississippi does not have laws for temporary insanity or diminished capacity. So the only thing that came into play was the fact that the capital murder, and the reason for the capital murder is because on Duane's exit, he took the victim's bag and cell phone in an effort to cover his tracks, okay? He threw them in a dumpster outside. He didn't remove anything. He threw it away. So in Mississippi, considered that a robbery. So they also told me through the district attorney's office that had he taken a stick of gum out of that room, it would have been a robbery. And along with two crimes constituted capital murder, and the only two outcomes for capital murder were death and life without the possibility of parole. And that was it.
This is
so our attorneys bargained down for second degree, which they considered was a deal, you know. Oh my goodness, it was very tight-lipped, it was closed-lipped, because no one wanted to admit that he was given this quote-unquote deal of 40 years in prison
plus 15 for the robbery, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Now what,
a total of 40.
For a total of 40. So what happens?
Total of 40.
Yes. What happened to your son is something that I have seen in reporting on these type of criminal cases. It's called stacking charges. That is to force you into a plea. See, he didn't rob Miss Wickham. Like you said, this was him trying to cover up. Once he realized what he had done after he had came to his senses. So in order to get a capital punishment, instead of following the spirit of the law, they went with the letter of the law. And that was correct. To coerce your son into pleading. And I see it all the time.
My son was also told that if he were to go to trial, which of course as a family, we did not want this. He's 21 years old. And we grappled with it, but you know, he came back to us and he told us his wish is that he did not want to die in prison. And to hear that from your 21-year-old son, knowing that he, you know, this was something that could have been avoided, if only someone, you know, if only the person told him, he would have had the opportunity to say, "No, I don't get down like that. That's not my thing. You know, be on your way," you know, or never ending the conversation online, never even a pickup.
Right.
You know, that would never have went down at all.
Right.
And so when he said that, we prayed on it and we figured that, okay, I had to respect Duwanye's wishes. You know, after all, it was him. You know, in my mind, 40 years was life because, what, he's 60 years old when he gets out?
Yes, that is basically a life sentence for someone that young.
It is.
Now, you know, also, and I'm about to open up the phone line, so if you have questions or comments for us, and please keep it respectful. We want to be respectful of human beings, you know, regardless of whether or not you agree with the lifestyles or the sexuality of transgender persons. We do not want to engage in name calling or anything like that. Let's make this a mature conversation. All right. So I know that this sort of topic can inflame passions, but we want to keep it respectful. We're not on here to point fingers. We're not on here to you know, do anything of the sort. We are here to have this discussion tonight, and this is what you told me, Kim, is you want to save lives. You want to prevent this from happening.
I want to save lives.
You want to prevent this from happening again to somebody else. So the telephone number is 570-9, I haven't done a program in so long, sometimes I forget the number. It's 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. Hit **. Our host of Tando Radio Show, which comes on Monday through Fridays from at 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock, has a question. So I want to go to Dave. Dave, thank you for joining us on BTR News, go ahead with your question or comment. Dave, you might be muted.
I just want to say thank you, Scotty, and thank you, ma'am, for coming on the show today. And it is our commitment, my commitment, as being a radio show host here on this network, to assist you as much as possible, because I'm a former police officer out of Los Angeles, and I've been very familiar with the court system, and I know how they work. And what I see in this case is that there were multiple assailants here. The individual that your son was defrauded by, I would classify this as rape by fraud. And one of the things that happens throughout society is that sometimes different situations come up that the overall laws haven't caught up themselves to. A case in point would be like identity theft or hacking. The system didn't have, and all of a sudden had a lot of identity theft and had a lot of hacking, and they didn't have proper legislations that protected society from these things. And your son was victimized not only by the transgender individual, but was victimized by the state of Mississippi. Yeah. Because this is a clear case of rape by fraud. And I would just, my question for you is, the attorneys, were they public defendants, were they private attorneys?
Private attorneys.
And the I think what has to happen is that this your son was actually politically prosecuted. Clearly politically prosecuted. And because of that, I think that there needs to be a push by us, not only the heterosexual community, but the transgender community as well. All communities should be pushing for the governor to pardon your son. And that is something that has to be invoked, and it only will happen by pressure. That judge that was there needs to be put under pressure. The prosecutor needs to be put under pressure, because what they did was a crime in itself. They used your son DeJuan as a political example that was totally against the spirit of the law. And I'm going to be committed to assisting you in all that I can do to help for this movement to happen, because it has to happen, because we as the people do not have to accept that plea deal that was forced under duress for this young man. Because that was a deal. This young man should have gone to trial with the appropriate defense. There was none. And this is something that can be seen by any person that's ever been in the legal system or has actually worked within that. The deal that was pushed, the prosecutor, the judge, in my opinion, they were all in on cutting this deal for him. This is why they added the robbery charge, when there was no intent by him to rob at all. There was no intent by him to engage in any illegal activity. And this was his response, was a response of passion. And that's what that a heat of passion. That's what that should have been classified as. So I think that we just need to, because not only do we need to save others, but your son is still salvageable, and we cannot give up on him. So I just want to say, sister, we are going to be with you, Miss Daniels, and we are going to do everything that we possibly can, because a pardon is what needs to happen here. And this serves the purpose of all, because this is rape by fraud. The individual, the transgender individual, the 25-year-old, knew what they were going with, what their intent was. That's why they canceled so many different times. They didn't know if they could get away with it. So, Ms. Daniels, I hope to talk to you soon, and I would love to have you on our show, and we will put some things together, because at times like this, our emotions get so caught up, but there is still legal recourse that you and your son still have, and proper pressure needs to be put into place, because your son is the most important thing right now. Society, the state of Mississippi, not only did the transgender individual, but the state of Mississippi has victimized your son.
Thank you so much for everything and for your help in getting it out.
Did you have anything else,
yes, ma'am.
Dave?
No, I really wanted to know who the attorneys were. Was it the public defender, or was it private attorneys? And so that was my question. So thank you so much, Scotty. I know there's a bunch of other people that would want to have questions. So I will mute my line and listen. Thank you so much, Ms. Daniels.
Thank
I look
you.
Forward to engaging with you and assisting you as much as I can.
Dave, I will.
I as well. Thank you.
I will forward you her email address. All right.
Okay, thank you, Scotty.
You're welcome. And, you know, I think Dave raised some important points there and pointing out. So I think the reason of his question was whether it was a private attorney or a public defender, because we know that oftentimes when there's a public defender's office, they're often underfunded on purpose. They are overworked. And their job becomes not to work in the best interest of their clients, but to work in the best interest of the system. And that's to clear cases. And the easiest way to clear cases is to coerce your client to agree to a plea deal. And that is not justice. That is not justice. But I think that what you told us, with the laws being what they are and there not being a temporary insanity defense in the state of Mississippi, I think that your attorneys didn't have any other choice, really, you know, other than taking it to trial and putting it in front of a jury. And but even then, you know, I'm wondering if the court would have prohibited them from even presenting a self-defense or rape by deception argument. So, I mean, this is a very important case. We do have another caller. Area code 347. Thank you for calling in the BTR News. You're on with Scotty Reed, and our guest is Kim Melancon, and we're talking about overall not just her son's case, but this issue of non-disclosure. Again, I want to make it clear that we're not saying that this is the case with all the violence that's happened against transgender people. I am totally against that. I believe people have a right to self-determination as long as they, in expressing those rights, don't infringe upon another individual's rights. So I don't believe in killing somebody simply because I don't agree with how they're expressing themselves. So with that said, area code 347, thank you for calling in. If you would, share your first name and go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay. Hi, my name is T. I'm a friend of Duanye's. I can tell you from my experience of speaking with him and whatnot that the picture that they're trying to paint is not what it is. As far as the transgender, like, I don't agree with the reaction he had, but at the end of the day, you can't tell somebody how they're going to react when you deceive them. And It's to me, it's crazy. I equate that to the same thing of somebody having HIV or AIDS and sleeping with people and not disclosing their status. And, like, I feel like if somebody were to do that to me in that situation, you know, I would be furious. And I'm like, you can't infect me with something like I'm using the HIV, for example, and think I'm showing up to your door for a conversation. You understand? Like, you don't know somebody's reaction. It's really crazy how people are saying, oh, you know, he didn't have to do that. But just put yourself in his shoes for a moment. That everything that happened was very emasculating. And so, you know, like, you just can't, like, I it's very, very messed up. Like, two people lost their lives. Like, D-Wagon was not the only victim. People's families were hurt by this, friends, so forth and so on. So, and I mean, some of the comments, like, I've seen some of them are very nasty from people, and they're making this a joke, and it's not. And what Ms. Kim is trying to do is to build a bridge to bring, you know, light to the situation. Like, yes, gender identity accountability, that I think that should actually be a law, like, not just a campaign, but, like, to protect both, you know, people like in those type of situations. And the thing is with the transgender person, you know, it's like it's crazy because, you know, you're misrepresenting the community. Like, I have transgender friends as well, and not some of them are deceitful and some are not. They disclose their sexuality. It's, you know, like, hey, I was born a man, but, you know, this is what I consider myself to be. And nobody's hating on that. Nobody's saying you can't do that. But when it comes to something very intimate with somebody, you're playing with somebody's emotions. You're playing with somebody's mind. And so, you know, I definitely understand why things happened the way they did. And I hope that everybody else who, you know, seeing this, they use their brain and, you know, realize, like, hey, this sugar honey I see is real. Like, you cannot go around doing that. You can't.
Right.
Did you have anything else you wanted to share?
You know, I'm just like I really hope, my hopes is that a bridge is built, and that you know, people do. One thing I remember a lady told me in church: the more you know, the more you're accountable for. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that people, knowing, you know, whatever position you take in life, you know, be accountable for your stuff. You know, don't go around blaming other people for a reaction to your actions, you know?
Right, right. All right. Well, any time that you want to chime back in, anybody, Dave, if you want to chime back in, if another question comes to mind or something that you think is important to share in this dialogue, please just hit **. Just watch your background noise. Again, I want to share, again, my personal experience. I know what went through his mind. Even though I was not with a transsexual person, it turned out to be a biological woman. Me being a young person who was inexperienced in sex with women, never seen a C-section scar before, and then that wig. I'm telling you, within seconds, my mind snapped. It really did. I didn't, look, people, we can sit up and we can say, well, I wouldn't have done this or done that in that situation. But if you're being truthful, you don't know how you will react until you've been in that situation, until it happens to you. You may just freeze up. You may, you know, you may just have a totally different reaction than what you imagine you would have. So I just want to put that out there. Again, I'm not justifying the killing of anyone, but I believe that this, no, I don't believe, because of my experience, I know that this young man was not in control of himself in those moments. I just know that because of what I experienced. We do have another call, but first, Kim, did you want to respond to anything that we've heard from Dave or P?
Well, I just want to say that I do appreciate the support and the public support, and I know there will be naysayers and people that say that, you know, this is wrong and the transgender community has a right to pursue relationships. And again, I want to reiterate that I'm not taking that away from anyone. I believe that you are a free moral agent until you infringe on the right of someone else. So that's my main concern. My main concern is full disclosure and having conversation to be able to open up the door and the pathway to have a conversation without someone getting on the defensive. And that's what I'm looking forward to with this initiative and this gender identity accountability for these types of actions. When we know as a kid that we're going to get in trouble for something, we stop it because we know that we're going to be held accountable. So if this keeps going on and on and no one can go to the police and say, hey, I was a victim of a trans rape, and they get laughed at. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that person feels that they can do. So that's where the laws need to take place and legislation needs to happen.
Well, I just want to say, and I express this on social media, through my work on trying to abolish 21st century slavery and human trafficking, I have come into contact or networking with individuals of diverse backgrounds, diverse, whether we're talking about religion, gender, sex, all of that. And the LGBT community, the individuals in that community that I have been working with on this criminal justice issue, well, not really criminal justice, but slavery, trying to end slavery for real this time, that they have expressed support. They have expressed support and saying that absolutely a heterosexual male, especially one who has identified himself as being interested in a woman, has a right to disclosure. Now, another thing that came up or a question that was asked of me, and I'll just go ahead and put it out there like this. If I work with somebody, let's say I'm on a job. Okay, I used to work in the corporate world. All right, let's say one of my office mates was a transgender person, but I didn't know. Do I have a right to know? No, I don't have a right to know. I don't think that's any of my business. Okay, but if I ask that person out for a date, or that person asks me out for a date, and then it progresses to the point where there may be some intimate contact, I think that person has a responsibility to reveal to me at that time.
Absolutely.
Now, that would mean then that, you know, if they don't want it known on the job, I would have to respect that, okay? But I think that, you know, it is, because people are saying it's on the, well, it's on the man. It's on you to find out. It's on you to ask. Well, people can ask and people can lie. Okay? But so, no, I don't think that transgenders have to come out the closet, so to speak, in their places of employment or on a college campus or anywhere. But it is the point that when you enter into a relationship with another sovereign human being, that when it looks like it's going to get intimate, you need to disclose. However you need to do that, the safest way to do that, over the phone, in a public place, okay? But this deception is a problem. It's immoral, it's a lie, and we want to save lives, not save lies. So we do have a call. We got one of our regular listeners, Otis, who wants to chime in. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. Otis, go ahead with your question or comment.
Hello, Scotty, and hello, Black community. Ms. Daniels, my heart goes out to you. I won't waste
it's
a lot of time.
I'm sorry, Otis. Otis, it's Ms. Melikon. Yeah. Kim Melikon.
Ms. Melikon? Okay, yes. Ms. Melikon.
Thank you.
I don't want to go into a lot of personal history on how I gained this, but I did work as a bartender in some strange places in Dallas for a while. And this conversation came up over 30 years ago. And my point of view, too, is it's not only do we need to direct this on your specific problem, but in the Black community as a whole. If you can't build a personal relationship without trust, and we've been on social media talking about this to the people that are naysayers, saying about what your son should have known. No, if you're going to have an interpersonal relationship with somebody, you cannot start it on deceit and claim that they should have known. And especially when it comes to anatomy, everybody has a right to their personal preference. I don't disparage trans. I've worked with some, have a few that are friends. And I'll be the first to tell you, as a 17, 18-year-old kid going into the military, I had all kinds of phobias and biases based on the little country place I was born in. But once I got into the military and found out people are people, there's no putting them down as a person. But I have a problem with trans people that want to be accepted, but they want to be brought in with some kind of anonymity that says, I have a right to not disclose that. No, you have a right to be honest and trustworthy with people. So I understand exactly where you're going, and I'm, whatever we can do to help you, we will.
Thank you, Mr. Otis. I appreciate that support.
So, Otis, anytime anybody wants to chime back in, just hit star on your keypad. Again, this is Black Talk Radio News. I will be airing this program every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We do have another caller. Let me give out the telephone number again first, though. The telephone number is 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. 9025. Hit star on your keypad. I will call on you, but please watch your background noise. So next, I want to go to area code 478, who was next on the board. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. If you wouldn't mind sharing your first name and go ahead with your question or comment.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is Kia. I'm calling from Macon. And Ms. Melikon, I just wanted to, you know, greet, you know, apologize. Well, it's not my fault, but, you know, apologize for your loss, because it is a loss. Your son is going to be far away from you for a long time, and I do agree with your gender identity, accountability, whatever we can do to help let us know. But I think we all need to take this to younger people as a cautionary tale. Before I even knew about this, I have a cousin. He's like your son's age. And because I'm getting to know him, talking to him, and I told him, I said, if you meet a girl and you go back to her house, I said, look for maxi pads, or I don't know, whatever you need to do, the best you can do to make sure, that you are with a woman. I mean, like Mr. Reed said, people can lie, but do all, the best you can do is your due diligence. And you can't necessarily expect a 20-year-old to think about that at the time, and I wouldn't expect my cousin to do that. That's why I made sure I told him. You know, in the event, and not that there are a lot of, because I think sometimes they overblow all these transgender people. I don't think there are as many as they say. I don't know. But, you know, be careful. And for anybody in general, if you can't be that intimate with a person, unfortunately, I don't think you should be having sexual relations with that person. And again, not to judge your son, because I was young, I did stuff, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we just need to be careful, and we need to keep your son and other people in prayer. Because I know even this never happened to me, but I had one transgender person told me that I had more testosterone in me than they did, and they're not even finished going through their change. And I was upset at that. And I could just imagine with your son, everything he went through with this person who, you know, wasn't brave enough or whatever to be who they were claiming to be, and now they don't have their life either. It's sad all the way around, but whatever we can do to help you, you know.
I appreciate that, and I did say that it was a preventable tragedy, and it is one that can be resolved with the proper action and accountability. But thank you so much. And unfortunately, that is the type of conversation that we will be having with our sons in 2017 and going forward. You know, I know that I had this conversation with Dwanye's younger brother, who was 17, and he looked at me like I was crazy, because before we never talked about this. You know, our issue was talking about other things that our black sons need to watch out for. But now this will be a conversation that families will have.
4-7
Unfortunately, of course, it's tragedy, but...
Yeah, 478, what was your name again?
Kia,
it's been a while since I heard your voice. Good to hear from you again. Glad to hear that you're with us. All right. So if you have another question or comment, you know, please chime right back in. I am up against the station identification break. I think sometimes this board jumps around. If I muted you by mistake and you were on the board for a question, just hit ** unmute yourself. At this time, though, I do need to take our station identification break at the top of the hour. Ms. Melikon has said that she will stay with us as long as we need her. And I just, before we go to the break, want to say I actually had this conversation as a result of this case with my nephews. See, I had all girls. Now I have grandsons, but they're not at, you know, they're still in elementary school. But I have nephews who are just entered into middle school, who are age of 13. And I made them aware of this case, and I talked to them about this. And so, you know, this is something that we do need to have that conversation, you know, with our young people, so that we can prevent these sort of outcomes, these tragic consequences of these behaviors. And this is on both sides. This is on both sides. Those of us who are the parents of heterosexual males and those who are the parents of transgender people. Okay? We're trying to save lives. That's what this is about. This isn't about bashing anybody. This isn't about judging anybody. Again, I'm a heterosexual male. I believe, though, that everybody has a right to self-determination, as long as what they're doing isn't infringing on my self-determination. And we should be respectful of one another. So we're going to take this quick station identification break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to BTR News on the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. Crazy? And welcome back to BTR News. Scotty Reed in on this mic from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Speaking of legalized slavery and human trafficking, many of you who have followed the network for some time know about New Abolitionist Radio, which comes on every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, which is hosted by me, Max Parthas, and our actionist, Johanna Elia. Johanna isn't able to go to the August 19th rally, which will be for it, which is called Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March. There will be a march that lasts about 30 minutes. Then there will be like a 5-hour rally in Lafayette Park in Washington, D.C. That's the park that is across the street from that White House that victims of slavery built. And this will be what we believe to be a historic gathering of modern day abolitionists. There probably hasn't been a gathering of this sort since before the Civil War and what I call pre-1865 slavery. Again, slavery was never abolished. If you don't believe me, believe the U.S. Constitution and go read the 13th Amendment. And then you will see that what you're calling mass incarceration is really a continuation of slavery. So in order for us to make it to that rally, we will be taking along a couple of other abolitionists from South Carolina and North Carolina. We have launched a fundraiser to help us purchase the items that are needed. And you can find that fundraiser listed on blacktalkradionetwork.com. Please give what you can. But like I said, I know that especially black people are struggling in today's economy. So give what you can. I told Max that, hey, if we don't raise enough money and if all we can get is a van, I'll sleep in the van, man, and go take me, a wash off in the sink of a public restroom. That's how important this is to me. Whatever I got to do to get there. All right. So we have some other callers who are patiently waiting. The next caller that was on the board, we got two callers. I believe I know one of the callers. I think that's Brother Jerry, but Brother Jerry, we have one in front of you. We want to go to area code 678-678. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. You're on with yours truly, Scotty Reed, and our guest tonight is Kim Melicon, and we are discussing the issue of disclosure. Transsexual deception leads to tragic consequences. Please share your first name, if you would, and go ahead with your question or comment. 678. You may have yourself muted, 678. Check your phone. We can't hear you. Last four is 9655. Okay. All right. Okay, you might want to try again later. That's okay. Let me go to Brother Jerry next. I believe that's Brother Jerry that's calling us from 423. Is that you, Brother Jerry?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight, Brother Scotty?
Doing the best I can under these terrible conditions, but it's people doing far worse than me, so I always like to keep that in mind. So what's on your mind about this issue tonight, Brother Jerry?
First of all, how are you doing this evening, Ms. Melicon? Did I say that right?
It's Melanson, but Melicon is fine, too. Thank you so much for asking.
Melanson, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We mourn with you, and like several of the other callers have stated, that we all have maybe not transgenders, people in our families, but we have people that's gay and practice a different sexuality. I'm not a very smart person, but I am continuously learning, and through my reading, what I find is that a lot of these things have been put on us through the centuries. And I was wondering with what you go through, because you said that you had a few trans people and gay men and women that you are actually friends with. Now, do they practice these same type of deceptive features? Like when they speak with you, can you?
Well, to answer your question, Brother Jerry, no, they do not. the trans and gay family members and friends that I have in the community, they are very upfront with their partners. Actually, what they do is they seek out partners within their LGBT community. And you have to also keep in mind that the LGBT also includes bisexual. So there are men that want to be with women and men. So they will seek out people with like characteristics and not men who identify themselves as heterosexual. So I have gay nephews that tell me all the time, this is wrong, Auntie Kim, you know, what's going on? And I don't want people to, you know, get the wrong idea that this is right. And they are advocates for Duwanye and for this particular instance because it hits home, because it's their cousin and it's their loved one. And, you know, one of my gay nephews said to me the other day, he said, I'm actually just tired of arguing with my own community. He says, it's like I can't get through to them and I don't know how to get through to them. And I told him, I said, well, that is why we need to start this initiative, so that we can have conversation with leaders who consider themselves to be leaders of the LGBT community. But to go back to your original question, no, they do not practice deceit. And they live a healthy life and they have friends and, you know, all is well for them. It's all good. But again, we have nothing against anyone in that community, but deceit is deceit on any level.
Yes, yes, ma'am. I'm with you 100%. I asked that because, along with yourself and Scotty, I'm here down in the South. Also, I'm from Tennessee. Well, actually, I'm from Chattanooga, and I'm a short ways from Atlanta. And I know that it's a lot of young people who practice this lifestyle that travel back and forth around this tri-state area of Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama. And
yeah.
Most of them practice deceit, and it may be the age thing, to where they haven't come to grips with the, not with themselves, but with the people who they're around. Because even though they practice a certain lifestyle, that they still want to be in a certain genre of people. So
right.
This type of thing always happens, and that's why I asked that question. And
right.
When we get to doing this, as I have noticed, all of the laws are continuing to stack up to where, whether we're talking about illegal aliens, it's like right now, you have people coming into the country, they're being placed above black straight men, black straight women. You have the LGBT community, they're being placed above black straight men, black straight women, and everybody else. It's a continuous drop for us. And I know that just there in Mississippi, just not too long ago, y'all just got to the point to where y'all could even have a interracial function.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't live in Mississippi. I just, you know, deal with
that's where her son
was
stationed
there.
Right.
Yeah, he was stationed at the Air Force Base there.
Okay, I thought y'all was down there. Yeah, because I was in the Navy too, so I know about the dislocation that happens with that. But I know, I do know down in Mississippi that they're still, I'm not even going to say struggling. It's almost like they're running interference with their racial competence down there. So when you're dealing with these particular states, and all of the laws that they encompass, we have to be focused on all of these things. And there's no amount of apologies or nothing that I could do that could help your heart right now. So, but we are sorry for what's going on, and we hope that something better comes from this. But I just wanted to get your outlook on that particular situation, if you was aware of it and what you thought about it.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for your comment. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, ma'am. I put myself on mute, Brother Scott.
All right, Brother Jerry. Again, anytime anybody wants to chime in, just hit **. Our telephone number is 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit **. Just watch your background noise. I will come to you as soon as I notice you. I want you mentioned something, Kim, about leadership in the LGBT community. Again, I want to express that the members of the LGBT community that I network with working on this issue of 21st century slavery and human trafficking, I would say 99% of them have been supportive of me taking up this issue, and they agree with disclosure. Now, I know, you know, I can't go off of what I see on social media with the small circle of friends or people I'm networked with and judge what the overall attitudes are about this in the LGBT community. But I tell you, I've been seeing some articles that have been very inflammatory from trans people who have been given access to mass media platforms. And they are, in my opinion, ridiculing heterosexual males, what I call victim blaming. One article that I covered in a video, my last video on this issue, where they were saying, don't blame the transgender community for your fragile masculinity issues.
Yes, and I saw that article.
I was like inflamed. I was inflamed by that article. And, you know, as I was reading the article, I saw where they were stealing the line from Asada Shakur and saying that unless we're all free, you know, none of us are free. Well, Asada was talking to black feminists about joining the white feminist movement. She wasn't talking about transsexual deceptive relationships with heterosexual males. Okay, again, nobody's advocating for violence. You have a right to live your life. You are a self-determining individual, as Brother Dave on Tando, you know, often says, we're sovereign, self-determining individuals. But your rights end where my rights begin. And so I'm just very, very disturbed by the lack of leadership from these high-profile transsexuals like Laverne Cox and others that I have attempted to engage, and they're simply ignoring me, you know. But I have had some people on Twitter come at me and say, you know, some things that I felt like were not helping the situation, and saying that one of the excuses that was made and expressed towards me, where there's no law against it. And just because you think it's immoral for them to deceive you doesn't make it immoral. And see, again, are you interested in saving lives, or are you interested in telling lies? That's my question. I want to save lives, okay? I want to save lives. So, I mean, can you, because you did express to me, Kim, that you do have a lot of support in the LGBT community for this initiative of GIA, Gender Identity Accountability.
I can tell you that the transgender community in Atlanta, where I am home based, and you know, I deal with the transgender community because I go to a transgender hair salon, and I have to tell you that most of the stylists are trans. And when this case first broke, I had 100% of their support and caring, and still to this day, even after sentencing and hearing details of what transpired, still the support is there. And I plan to engage them, and I call them my group of people that I know very well, in these talks, because I don't see the leadership and the representation. I see a lot of defensive conversation and victim blaming, and who's the victim, and why are we not referring to the person as a she? And, you know, that's what I hear. But I want to note something that the individual who my son came into contact with, his mother stood in open court to say, I did not approve of my son's lifestyle. I did not approve of his approach. And I know that you were angry. I just wish things would have turned out differently. Okay, so I said that to say we can't switch it. We can't go from saying one thing and then turning around and being the biggest supporter, because that's what's happening now. No one's offering a solution, and that's what I want to do. I want to offer solution and conversation. So I will be engaging my trans friends into this GIA initiative so that when we have these talks and whomever wants to come forward to the panel to discuss that, we'll be more than happy to have both sides, because obviously it can't just be heterosexuals talking. We need to hear. One thing that one of the reporters asked was, why do you think the person turned around after the act and said, oh, by the way, I'm a male? That's a question.
Yeah, that is a question.
Why?
Because I'm like saying, again, I experienced something similar, even though it turned out to be a woman. But in my mind, I'm thinking I'm with a transsexual, and I had that reaction. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, why would you have sex with a person and you don't even, and nobody's even taking a shower yet, and you're disclosing that, oh, by the way. And so I didn't have any, one of the LGBT community members gave me some insight into that. Okay, so I'm going to share what was shared with me. They said that, well, not why this person disclosed right after, but why are some transsexuals not disclosing? Because in their minds, they're women. They're not trans women. They're not transgender. In their mind, they're women. And so she said that they don't want bisexual men. They don't want men from the LGBT community. They want heterosexual men. Okay? So, I hope that lends some insight into some of the mentalities out there that we're dealing with. But again, that's your reality. You can't force your reality on another individual. Because like another, now I don't know if she's LGBT or not, but this woman said she was struggling with this. And she said, you know, help me understand from your perspective. Now, again, she was supportive of the disclosure, but she was still trying to figure out, reconciling her mind. Well, I see LGBT as normal. I don't see them as abnormal. So what, you know, where's the issue? And she's asking questions. She's not making accusations. And so I told her, in my mind as a heterosexual, I can't speak for others. I don't care if you didn't have an operation. In my mind, I'm still seeing a penis. I'm still, and then she came up with a term that I have never heard. Well, I've heard it in terms of amputees, how they might get an itch, but the leg isn't there. And so she called it a phantom penis. I'm seeing in my mind as a heterosexual male with a preference for natural born women that a transsexual woman, in my mind, I can't erase that penis. I just simply can't do it. I can't explain it. I don't feel like I need to explain it. I'm just being honest and upfront. Is that I still see a penis in my mind. So do you have any thoughts on that? Does that help you maybe see some things that you hadn't considered before?
Yeah, actually it does. And I also expressed to the reporter that perhaps it's a conquest to have gotten with a heterosexual male, a notch on the belt, if you will. So I don't know, you know, again, if they consider themselves as female, but anatomically, you know, you are born a man and you have man parts. You have to play devil's advocate in your head at some point and think rationally and say, okay, I view myself as a female. However, anatomically, and on your driver's license in most cases, I am identified as a male. And another man would perceive me as a male. And it's still not a good idea. I grapple with that whole part of the revelation is after the act to tell why. You know, it still grapples with me, even though we're offered up explanations. It's still a question that I would love to ask a panel of different transgenders. You know, why is it that you would wait till after an act to admit to someone or to divulge that type of information? And that's very serious information.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't think of any kind of logical reason. Now, even though I don't condone it, I want full disclosure. But why would you wait till after the act? Again, you ain't even took a shower yet. Why would you not wait till email that person or call that person? You know, to me, you put yourself in harm's way because you don't know how that person is going to react. And your son had the reaction that he had, just like I had the reaction that I had when I just simply thought I was with a transsexual woman. It's not that, again, I don't have fear of homosexuals. I don't have a irrational fear of transsexuals. I'm just a heterosexual male who is attracted to natural born women. And I don't feel like I should have to apologize for that. So I do want to go back to the phones before we run out of time. We got about a little over 30 minutes left in the broadcast. Again, you're listening to BTR News. I will be broadcasting live on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m., another two-hour broadcast. But let's go to the phones. We got a regular Black Talk Radio Network listener, soon-to-be broadcaster. We got Ross on the line. Ross, thank you for calling in to BTR News. What's on your mind tonight, brother?
Hey, peace and love to you, Brother Scotty, Brother Dave, my partner Jerry, and to the guest, Mrs. Melon, is it Melanson? Is that how you say it?
Melanson.
Yes. Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Mrs. Melanson. Yes, I just wanted to chime in because there was something that you said, Scotty, that really resonated with me. And when it was when you discussed, and well, first, I just have to say this is completely tragic. This is just not, it's just a shame that we have been conditioned to mistreat each other the way that we've been mistreated by the people who dominate us. And to me, this is just an extension of that, regardless of what the deceased person, and I'm sorry for his family's loss, as well as the situation you're dealing with, and I'm hoping that it gets rectified. Hopefully, you know, just getting the word out there and having people discuss it can facilitate that. But to me, this is just, you know, one victim victimizing another victim. And to me, this is stuff that's passed on. And the reason why is because Scotty says something about someone forcing their reality on someone else. And this is a big thing for me because I had a person I grew up with that actually ended up going to jail for murder for beating a homosexual person to death in Brooklyn, where I'm from. This is back in like the 80s, going into the early 90s. And that situation was because he just didn't like, you know, homosexuals. So that was his reaction. But even when that happened back then, I thought that was incorrect. But what, in reference to the forcing reality on other people, this is something that's come up many times. And when I've had this discussion with people, it's something that a lot of them, from what I know, haven't been made aware of. But if you study the history of slavery with our people, you have something called seasoning plantation, because black people have always been propagated as the so-called most homophobic people on the planet. This is what has been discussed ad infinitum ever since we've been under this system of oppression that these group of Europeans have traveled the world and instated. And seasoning plantations, and Jamaica is one of the greatest examples of what a seasoning plantation is, and this is what forcing your reality on someone else is all about. They used to take what they call recalcitrant slaves, which were slaves that they couldn't break, male slaves specifically, that showed an alpha male sort of an attitude towards being oppressed by the system of white supremacy. And what slave masters would do would gather 150 to 200 slaves in a town square. And what they would do is have four white males take that black male and strap ropes to all four of his limbs and spread him spread eagle while he was wholesale raped by 8 to 10 white men in front of those 150 to 200 slaves. And this is what homosexuality was used for. It was a tool of warfare to subjugate our people. And if you study the history of this, there's a great book called The Delectable Negro by Vincent Woodard that we read on the context of white supremacy that speaks to this just powerfully. There's another book called The American Slave Code that deals with the systematic forced sexual activity of black people to produce babies for white people to sell. And this is why we have an aversion to this sort of behavior. It's because of how it was introduced to our people. This is not something that was historically our reality until we encountered Arab people and Europeans. And this extension of that, you can go back to the early 80s when you're dealing with what they would call the closeted homosexual black male. Now you have this transgender situation where you don't know who you're encountering, whether or not they were a man or a woman before and they're now something else. And this creates a system of distrust. The original distrust regarding this issue started with homosexuality, with the closeted homosexual quote-unquote epidemic that they were putting out in the 80s and 90s, and how black men were supposed to be bringing all of this AIDS home because they were having these clandestine relationships with other men, which, again, is deceit. It's all deceit. Yeah. But the actual historical reality is that this was a tool of war, and that this is now creating enmity between black people because we live in an age where if you go back to the 70s and the 60s, James Baldwin, a homosexual activist writer, one of our greatest writers, he understood that his blackness trumped his sexuality. Langston Hughes understood that his blackness trumped his sexuality. We live in an age now where the system has confused our people to the point where the vast majority of our people who are into this lifestyle believe that their sexuality trumps their blackness. And what they were able to do is use this one black male who took the cue from the system on how to rape by omission, and they turned this black male against another black male who was innocent, had no concept of what he was getting into. He just thought he was meeting someone, he was attracted to this person, and he thought they were female. And I said this yesterday on Tando's show, transgender, homosexuals, they have ingenious ways. My wife's best friend is homosexual, and we almost didn't even get together because when we met, I didn't really want to deal with that community at all. And she's the one who opened my mind as a Caribbean male. We're very close-minded to that because of exactly what I said, the seasoning plantation situation. So she helped to open me up to understand that, you know, people are people, and everyone, and not that I felt that they didn't have a right to live the life that they wanted. It was just something that was just so, just something I just could not psychologically get used to seeing when I was young. Now that I'm older and I have a more expanded consciousness on this issue, and because of the fact that this has now been something that's put in our food, it's genetic alteration now. A lot of our people aren't aware that they're being genetically and chemically altered by the food and the chemtrails and all of these things. So these people are also victims of the system who are unaware that they're also victimized. That's how I look at it. And my thing is, we have to start to get to a place where the honesty, and this is what our biggest issue has been, our ancestors did not tell their children and their descendants, this is what happened to me, this is how I was abused and mistreated, this is what you need to look out for and expect from these people. It's because we have been inculcated with Stockholm Syndrome. We have been abused for so long and left unattended with this mental, spiritual illness for so many generations that ultimately we are not able to put ourselves in a place of understanding that disclosure is the most important means, because this is a system of rapists and pedophiles that have domination over us. And pedophiles and rapists get away with what they do because of silence. The criminals get away with what they do because of silence. And even though it's painful for us as a people to speak about being mistreated, to speak about being raped, to speak about being abused, subjugated, whatever's happening to us, because it's all happening to us in every area of people activity, us disclosing this truth can help prevent our children. They can prevent Trayvon Martins and Mike Browns and sadly such the situation that happened with your son. We have to start being open with each other and getting beyond the emotional content of our personal feelings to understand that this is a global issue, and this is an issue that without us being able to be honest with each other is going to continue. And when transgender or homosexual people talk from a place of of anger or disrespect. Think about it this way. What if your son did not react at all in that way to that person? He could have killed himself. There's people this happened to because they're so embarrassed about it that they kill themselves. There's men who get raped in jail and hang themselves because they don't want to come out of jail to have to explain to people what has happened to them. So that's the opposite side of this. And I'm pretty sure if it happened the other way around, that person who committed that rape against your son would be going to jail for either murder or some crime that actually fits what happened. But because your son took the opposite approach, he snapped, which is natural. This is not something that you're used to. I mean, study the Greeks, the Vikings. These people used to talk about wholesale raping entire countries when they would take over these countries. And these are people who had never experienced homosexuality at all, and not as a tool of war. So imagine you've never seen this behavior before. It's unnatural to you because your society doesn't practice this, and these foreign people come in and start raping men, women, and children, and you can't do anything about it. What is that going to do whenever you encounter that sexuality down the line? You're going to say, this is the context in which I've experienced this. I don't want nothing to do with that. That's going to be the general attitude. And until transgender, homosexuals, until they understand that their form of sexuality was a tool of warfare, and you can study the history, it's there. It's documented emphatically. And that now, it's been propagated to the point and perpetuated to the point that they're normalizing it. But they're normalizing it, just like Dave said, in the way in which they're unleashing this stuff on society without checks and balances to protect people from being victimized. And that is how the system of white supremacy works. So we have to get together, like Dave said, and really push forward on this because it's important. These transgender gay people have gotten more rights in 20 years than black people have gotten in 500. So they are piggybacking like everyone else off of our struggle. They are now the new Hebrew. You say anything against the transgender, your career is over, your life is over, everything is just destroyed. They have taken the place now. They're at the top next to Jews as far as people who are untouchable, as far as any sort of disrespect or any sort of mistreatment. But yet the people who have been mistreated systematically from the moment we encountered these people have been pushed to the bottom, yet everyone else's struggle is a piggyback off of ours. So we have to take that reality and understanding. And again, it's no disrespect to these people. You do what you want. And like Gotti said, whatever you do should not infringe on my personal life, and whatever I do should not infringe on yours. And if that is the case, then we should be able to live in harmony. It's when you're using your behavior as a tool of warfare. Because I thought it was interesting that the transgender person didn't chose to say this to your son right after the act. Because to me, that's the act of a rapist. Basically, you're saying, hey, I just dominated you psychologically, and here, I'm going to tell you what I did. It could be 50-50. I'm not this person, so I'm not trying to say this is what they thought, but it can be 50-50, either the direction that the person really thought they were female, and then something clicked in them and said, man, maybe I need to tell this guy something because I really like him. That could have been it. And then the other side could have been, hey, I just got over on you. Let me tell you how I got over on you, and didn't expect the reaction that they got. And you're dealing with a person. You said your son was 18 when this happened. Is that correct?
No, he was 20.
20 years old.
20?
20, yes.
Okay, the human brain does not complete development until 27. The human brain does not complete development until you are 27 years old. So you have a person who's not even a complete adult psychologically, though society is looking at him as an adult. You're 20. You're an adult. But still, his brain is not completed development yet. And you're being told, hey, we just had a sexual experience, and guess what? I used to be a man, or I am a man still. Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
How do you expect him to react to that? How do you expect him to? I mean, it's just, it's unfathomable. Is it sad? Absolutely. Is it something that shouldn't have happened? Is it preventable? 2,000,000,000% correct. But the whole concept of honesty and dishonesty in our community was imposed on us and has now become a way of life for our people. We have to come better than that in order to protect ourselves, because the puppet masters of this created the situation where that young man lost his life, and now your son's genetic material might be locked up for the majority of his life so that he can't procreate to make a child that will have that genetic coding that says, hey, you know, this is incorrect. You know, and granted, in the right circumstances, I'm pretty sure your son would not have even done, thought, or said anything where, hey, this person needs to die for being this way. It was the context in which he learned of this situation that facilitated him snapping as a young man with a not fully developed brain being raped. And that's all I wanted to say. Sorry if I talked too long. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to stand behind you on this, but I just had to put that historical context out there because I hear this ad infinitum about black people hate, you know, homosexuals. Where did that come from? There's an origin to this, and it has to do with the way that we have been oppressed systematically, and our issues have remained unaddressed till this day. Thank you so much,
thank
and I wish you all the best. You will remain in my prayers, and please give your son my highest regards, okay? Thank you, and I'll mute my line.
I will. Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right, Brother Ross, and I want to share something. Also, we got a couple more callers. I believe Brother Jerry wants to chime back in, and Brother Dave. But I do need to take my last station identification break. But before I go, I'm brought up. Well, no, I'm not going to do that to y'all. I'm going to go to the station identification break, just be a quick short one, and then we'll come back and I'll share something else on leadership. Because I shared a story with you, Kim, from my local area. I don't live in Charlotte. I live in a rural area outside of Charlotte. But I shared a story with you that occurred between a transsexual 24-year-old. I just found out he was 24 years old with a 15-year-old boy, and it was just totally disgusting what happened in that courtroom yesterday, and I want to share that with the wider listening audience when we come back. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Stay tuned. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio. News, my name is Scotty Reed again, my guest, and help me pronounce your name again, Miss
Malasan.
Malasan. That's French. Sound like French. Okay.
Yes, a little bit of that.
Okay. So I had actually shared this story yesterday on Tando Radio. I also shared it on social media. And I have some more details that I did not recall before. But I told a story about a transsexual male, 24 years old. This happened in November of 2016. He was in a park and he performed a sexual act on a 15-year-old. The 15-year-old did not know that he was dealing with a transsexual. He thought it was a natural-born woman. Two other teenagers come along, and they know that this is a transsexual person. They know how old he is, and whether somebody wants to say that they acted correctly or incorrectly, they told the 15-year-old, and all three of them joined in, whooping that person's ass. Okay, I'm just telling the facts. I'm not justifying it. In fact, in my commentary, when I shared it in my video, I said it might have been best for those young people to go get an adult, because they were all teens, and go get an adult. Or, and I hate to tell people to call the police, because oftentimes when our people call the police, somebody end up getting shot. Okay. But they should have called the police, because now they are facing charges, possible hate crime charges. I'm still trying to get some details. One of them is in court next week. But the transgender person took to the internet and made a video and said that, and showed his injuries. They said he was attacked with a hatchet as well, had some cuts and stuff. And he said, oh, they were calling me gay while they were beating me, and I feel like this is a hate crime. But this person, when they took to social media, and this became a national story, they did not share that they had engaged in a sexual act with that 15-year-old in the park. So when the police investigate and they find out about it, they arrest this person 2 days later and charge them with sexual assault. I'm not sure if it was just a straight up sexual assault. I'm not sure if it was statutory rape because the age of consent in North Carolina is 16, or I don't know. I just know it was some sort of sexual assault. So this person goes to court yesterday, the trans person, and he had a lot of support from the LGBT community. They turned out in court for him. What disgusted me is that the state, the prosecutor, the judge, and the defense attorney worked out a plea agreement to where this person pled guilty to the charge of crime against nature, which is on the books here in North Carolina. They just don't enforce it, but it is on the books, crime against nature. And so instead of charging this person with statutory rape, a 24-year-old, or with sexual assault, you know, again, they stack charges when they want to stack charges on you.
Mm-hmm.
But they agreed to allow this person to plead guilty to a crime against nature, put him on probation, no jail time, doesn't have to register as a sex offender. In the video, the attorney said that we don't feel like this was something that should require this person to be registered as a sex offender. I mean, it was just totally disgusting. I mean, they just dismissed like this person did not just commit a heinous crime in the community. Again, I'm not justifying the reaction of the teens. Do I understand it? Yes, I understand it. I have seen read stories where people have caught children being abused and they beat the other person to death. They didn't beat this person to death. Okay, but those other persons did not. They were seen as heroes because, you know, the children were very young, like under the age of 10. And they didn't charge them because they caught the person in the act, just like these teens caught this person in the act. I just thought that sent another wrong message, okay? That it's okay to prey upon little young black boys playing basketball in the park, and you don't have to be registered as a sex offender. And I mean, I was just totally disgusted, Kim. You saw the video. I shared the article with you. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, when I saw that, the transgender also did not receive jail time because the judge and the DA felt that wasn't necessary. So I'm so confused. I don't understand. That person clearly committed a sexual act of rape against the 15-year-old, and now the victims of the rape is now looking at charges of a hate crime because they were raped. It just
reacted the way they did.
That was very sickening, yes.
So I just kind of think that speaks to some of what Ross was just sharing with us. And that's why I wanted to bring that up. But we do have some more callers. I believe Brother Dave and Brother Jerry wants to chime back in. But first, before I come to you guys, we got somebody on the board who hasn't had a chance to speak. Area code 504. Thank you for calling in to BTR News on this very important topic that we're discussing and in open dialogue. If you don't mind sharing your first name, please share your name and go ahead with your question or comment. 504, check your phone. Your phone may be muted. You're unmuted on the board. 504, your last four is 1009. Okay. If you change your mind and you want to chime in, please give us a call back in the 15 minutes that we have left in the broadcast. Want to go back to Brother Dave of Tando Radio Show, again heard Monday through Friday right here on the Black Talk Radio Network at 6:00 p.m. Eastern Time. Brother Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, Scotty, real quick. Kim, I want to just say this really quick because I know there's other, we're running out of time. I think we really have to be focused on helping your son. And the thing that really is going to give the most traction, Scotty said that there were individuals that thought that there was no crime that was committed. There was a crime. And I want to just read you this really quickly. It's fraud. It's rape by fraud. And it's because it's fraud's definition is to deceit, trickery, sharp practice or breach of confidence perpetrated for profit or to gain some unfair or dishonest advantage. One of the things when dealing with the legal system is that you have to bring legal precedents and you have to bring legalities to it all. And so the actual crime, the individual that happened to have been transgender, that is just the method. But the crime was what they used that for, and that has to be the highlight of everything. Because then what happens is that we get into the sensationalization of today's modern media that will be something that will overlook the crime and look at the sensationalization of it all. We have to stay close to the facts as much as it's fraud, and it was fraud with intention. So, and it was raped by fraud. So I think that is where, you know, is going to be very important for us, and for even for us calling in and talking about this. Remember the crime that was committed. The transgender just happened to be the way in order to perpetrate the crime, but that individual committed a crime, and that has to be focused on. And your son was victimized by that and responded to that crime. That is very, very important. Responded to that crime.
Of rape by fraud.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you, sister.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for sharing that with us. Again, there needs to be a campaign to free your son, Kim. Either through commutation from the governor or through a pardon, because he is truly a victim, and he shouldn't be victimized because Mississippi doesn't recognize temporary insanity. He shouldn't be victimized by that. Okay.
And that is why he is.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let's go to Brother Jerry, and then we'll go to Brother Otis. But Brother Jerry, thank you for chiming back in. What's on your mind, Brother Jerry? You might be muted, Brother Jerry. I can't hear you. Okay. Brother Jerry, I can't hear you. I'm going to leave your mic open. I'm going to go to Otis. Otis, did you have something else that you would like to share, sir?
Yes, Scotty, Roz hit it, and so did Jerry, that David just got off. This is a matter of trust, but there's also a larger factor in this. A brother by the name of Dr. Tommy J. Carey, and if Miss Melisson is listening, he just came out with a book called The Man Not. You can Google it on Google and see. It is some of the most definitive work on disposable black males in America. And it hits on the sexual connotation, everything from interpersonal violence between black males and females, the vilification of black males in the history and context that Ross was just talking about. And he talks about that, how the LGBT community has basically turned black females and trans against straight black males. This is not just a thing of your imagination. In other words, your son is a victim, and just like this other case that Scotty was talking about, if you realize that they let a grown man have sex with a child, then let the grown man off, but are now going to try the three black males.
They'll do
the very same thing to them that they did to your son. Overzealous prosecution to force them into plea bargains, which is what has happened in this system for about the last 45 years. 95% of people that are convicted are convicted from plea bargains. Your son, when he was talking to you about your son, he committed an act out of passion, but they didn't drop the lesser charge of burglary. They use that to enhance the prosecution, which is actually overzealous prosecution. There is a possibility that you also may be able to get Brian Stevens from Equal Justice Project, even though he deals primarily with racism. You may be able to call his office and they get you in touch with some top-notch attorneys that actually handle this kind of stuff. appeals and stuff like that. I'll send the information to Scotty, and then he can forward it to you so you don't have to worry about looking it up. But this is Scotty, a phenomenon that I think we need to take national. Yes?
Yes, I was saying for Scotty to feel free to pass along my email address to you as well, Brother Otis.
All right, and Godspeed, man. Godspeed.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Otis. And actually, this was brought up on New Abolitionist Radio, where we had a caller, a longtime listener of Black Talk Radio, who had pled guilty to a misdemeanor. He has a job through a friend of the family as a daycare driver. And the daycare driver said, according to the laws of Minnesota, that they would have to fire him even if he just gets probation, which he was going to get probation. And so another caller called in with exactly what Otis talked about. Otis, can you give that out again? Because it slipped my mind. What's the name of it? Where they enhancing the punishment? Okay, whatever Otis just said about them doing all that extra collateral consequences is what I think it is.
Yeah, stacking the charges.
Yeah, stacking the charges, collateral consequences, and this person found a federal law that trumps state law that says you can't do that, that it's illegal to do that. But again, there are many things that are illegal that they do anyway. So I just want to keep it real. What's that, Otis?
That's why I was saying to her, Brian Stevens them have a pretty good record of if they can't handle something, they can send you to someone that specializes in that. That's why I'm saying with the significance of her case and how it was handled, if she were to call to his office and let them know what the circumstances are, they will try to help you and put you in touch with somebody close by that can review your case. Because it may not be an overnight thing, but I'm serious. I'm like Dave on that. I believe there's a way to get either the nullified or retrial or some kind of way to commute this sentence, because it makes no sense.
Right.
And Brian Stevens is out of what state?
I believe he's in Georgia, but I'll go ahead and dig up the information. He's with the Equal Justice Initiative, EJI. They're the one that's building the African-American Museum to Slavery.
Yeah. Oh. He's also featured in the documentary by Ava DuVernay, The 13th, which, again, points out that slavery was never abolished, people. It's not mass incarceration that we're looking at. It's slavery, the continuation of slavery. And they made a new slave, like Kanye West said in his track, New Slaves, out of your son. All right. So we got to be real. Jerry, your mic is open. Did you want to comment? Okay. Area code 423. Area code 423. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. Did you have a question or comment for us? Okay. All right. So we come to the end of the program. I want to thank you, Kim, for coming on and sharing this very tragic story that occurred to your son, that happened to your family. And thank you for opening up this dialogue. Okay, because it's a much needed dialogue. And as I recall that article where they were basically attacking black males and saying, oh, don't blame us for your fragile masculinity. Well, in this article, they were saying we need to have an open conversation. We need to talk about this violence against the transgender community. And I agree. But we also need to talk about this deception and how it is not right. It is immoral. Deceit is immoral. And there's no other way.
And we need laws. We need laws.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. I agree. So I'm going to allow you to have the last word. What would you like to leave our listening audience with, and for those who will listen on the podcast later?
I really want to thank everyone who had a comment and has support for Dewange. And I let him know via phone call that he has support, and he is a very positive young man. And he has said, Mom, I chose not to die in prison, so I'm going to take this plea, but I will do something good with this. I will teach in the prison. I will help people get their GED. He says, although I would be physically locked up, my mind will always be free. And he is an avid reader of a Hill Harper book that I'd like to say, Letters to an Incarcerated Brother, that I got him early on. And in that book, he quotes those antigens that although you're locked up, your mind is free. So even though he's facing that, he is so strong, and he knows that I will be on the outside fighting to save lives, and most importantly, his life as well. And that's what I wanted to leave everyone with, and I do appreciate everyone's support.
Yes, ma'am, and just know that this is not the last time that we want you on this network. Dave has said he wants you on Tando Radio Show, and you have an open door for BTR News. Any updates, anytime you want to come on, just let me know. We have a global audience. We may not have the reach of some of these corporate radio stations, but we got a pretty far reach. And, you know, so anything we can do to assist, just know that we're right here, and definitely in promoting any kind of efforts to secure a pardon for DeWanye. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a good evening, ma'am.
You too. Good night.
Okay, so I just want to again thank everybody for the constructive dialogue that we had tonight and all the useful information that was shared. That's what I love about Black Talk Radio Network. We just don't talk about stuff. We try to find solutions to these problems that are facing so many people in so many different areas of people activity, like Ross said. Now, I do want to leave you recognize that it is August. So I want to recognize Black August. Let me just pull up some information on Black August, which was started in the prison system. Shout out to our ancestor, George Lester Jackson, who was murdered by this system of slavery. So I'm going to share this article with you from 2016. I did not prepare for this. I just remembered today that it is, you know, this month we celebrate Black August, especially in the political prisoner community. Shout out to Mamiya and all political prisoners. Free them all. All right. So this is a article. Such a time. Let me let this article load up. I'm sorry. Sometimes these websites have all this extra stuff going on, and it becomes difficult, especially doing a live program, to pull some of it up. All right, so it's trying to play this video, but let me start. Okay, Black August for Black Survival. This is an article that was written by Anne Healing Begins. So they're writing under a pseudonym. The title of the article is Black August for Black Survival. What if Black folks in America decided they were going to chuck the deuces and take a month off from white folks? What if we took a month outside of February to study and learn about our own history? What if we decided we wanted to pour libations for the many lives that have been lost and that keep being taken as we continue to fight for the right to simply live and be Black at the same time in America? Okay, let me stop this video. Such a time has been designated as Black August. That's right, Black people. We have our own month outside of Black History Month. The one time a year you hear the same three names over and over again: Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, and Frederick Douglass, because they are the only Black people who've ever made history in America. Black August isn't for celebrating our history, but reflecting on it and using it to create solutions. It is a month to focus specifically on all the Black people in history that refuse to be enslaved or unjustly in prison, or those that have lost their lives in the struggle, and historic figures and events who were birthed in August. Before you begin recognizing Black August, you need to get at all of the backstory that led to it being started in the first place. That means you need to know the brothers George and Jonathan Jackson. George Jackson was co-founder of the Black Guerrilla family and a member of the Black Panther Party. George, a member of the Black Panther Party, co-founder of the Black Guerrilla family and lifetime husband of Queen Angela Davis, they were really never married, was arrested on some trumped up misdemeanor theft charges when he was 18 years old and sentenced to 1 year in prison, but ended up serving 11. Already we have a problem. He spent the first 9 years in San Quentin, predominantly in solitary confinement, before being transferred to Soledad Prison with his BGF co-founder W.L. Nolan. Angela Davis was terminated from UCLA because of her connection to resistance movements. Soledad had serious issues with racial conflicts between the Aryan Brotherhood and Jackson and his followers, so most activities were segregated for months until inmates were forced to play nice in the prison courtyard one day, which led to an anticipated altercation. A tower guard ended up shooting and killing Nolan, and this did not sit well with Brother George. A few days later, George and two other prisoners became known as the Soledad Brothers when they were charged with killing a prison guard in retaliation for Nolan's death, and they were sent back to San Quentin to await trial. Meanwhile, back in Oakland, our sister Queen Angela Davis and George's baby brother Jonathan Jackson were not willing to sit idly by while George was a sitting duck in prison. Angela began writing some pretty steamy love letters to George, pledging her devotion to him and his release by any means necessary. This is where things go left. Jonathan tried to demand George's freedom by holding five people, including a judge and jurors, hostage from a Marin County courtroom and three other Black Panther Party members who were either on trial or serving as witnesses in the courtroom. Let's just say things didn't end well or go as planned. Only one of the kidnappers, Rochelle McGee, survived and is still in prison, and one of the hostages, Judge Harold Haley, was killed in a shootout that ensued when a group tried to leave the courthouse. Just a quick update on that, Rochelle McGee was released from prison last year. The Marin County incident is what led to Angela Davis's subsequent trial because the guns were purchased in her name, and George Jackson remained in prison for another year until he was killed in a revolt and prison escape attempt assisted by the San Quentin Six in August of 1971. Years later, the observation of Black August began when prisoners started wearing black armbands and studying black historical events to honor the fallen in the Marin County incident, the Soledad brothers, and all who had been unjustly incarcerated or killed in prison. All right, so I'm going to end it there. Again, I want to thank my guests and all the callers tonight for chiming in on this very important issue. Please take this conversation that you heard tonight on air to your community. Talk to your sons about it. Talk to your daughters about it. Talk. That is what we need. Talk. We need to talk, we need to dialogue, and we need to bring this sad situation to some resolution. We shouldn't always look outside of our community for other people to come in and solve our problems. We can solve this problem ourselves. So with that said, please continue to support independent black media. Make a donation today to the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. Peace and blessings to all.